How did I make sure I was focused on the parts of my customer's journey I thought could make the most impact on sales, retention, and word-of-mouth advertising? I competed against the Solution Box. What is a Solution Box? Well, stay tuned to find out.
Running a service business can be hard. It is not unusual for business owners in industries like contracting, home repair, auto repair, business-to-business services like janitorial, IT and accounting, and many others to feel overwhelmed by all the priorities facing them at any given time. Between addressing the needs of the customers, managing the employees, figuring out the financials, and getting processes in place, feeling like you're making significant progress on your business journey can be difficult. Welcome to Service Industry Success, hosted by Brian Harding. Each week, Brian will look at real-world strategies for building the business you are dreaming of, while also sharing tactics to get through some of the most frustrating parts of business ownership with a lot more ease. Let's get started.
Imagine for a minute there were a mechanical box, like a robot, that could perfectly do the things you do to make money in your company. If you're a bookkeeping or tax agency, it does tax returns or bookkeeping. If you're a plumbing or HVAC contractor, it does HVAC or plumbing service repair and replacement. If you do marketing, it does marketing, or it provides IT services or carpet cleaning. Whatever you do to make money, that's what this box does. I know you probably think I'm talking crazy, but just bear with me for a minute. As you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, one of the mistakes I think business owners and even skilled employees make is telling themselves and others that the reason their company is better is that they are better at the revenue-producing tasks than everyone else. Now, why do I think this is a mistake? In my opinion, it turns our focus to the things that are much harder to demonstrate to the customer, i.e., doing the tax returns or installing the new heat pump better. First of all, these are both things that the customer probably assumes we're doing anyway. They probably assume we're doing the tax returns correctly. They probably assume we're putting the heat pump in correctly. They probably don't think there's a huge difference in the quality of tax return preparation versus from one company to another, or that one company is going to be a 12 on installing the heat pump, the other company is going to be a 7. Now, we're going to talk about this because I know that this is something that people get really focused on, and this is a difficult thing to kind of make sure we're not overcorrecting. So my point is, I can't think of a single time out of the literally hundreds of times people have talked to me about things like getting their tax returns done or getting a new HVAC system installed. I can't think of a single time that what they appreciated the most was the thing that they had absolutely zero visibility of, like the actual work of getting the tax return done. Like the person does the tax return in an office somewhere, maybe hundreds of miles away from me. I don't see that. I see the result. Same thing with the HVAC unit. It's pretty unlikely that your customers are out there watching you put together the thing, you know, with a socket or a screwdriver in your hand. Like they see you out in the backyard doing the thing, cursory, you know, in a peripheral kind of way, but they're not standing over your shoulder, like eyeballing how you do every nut and every bolt. Like, first of all, you probably wouldn't want them to do that. You probably wouldn't let them do that. My point is, this is where people often tell themselves and others that the reason why our company is the best because we do these things better than anyone else. And I think making this mistake also keeps us from focusing on the things that we really can move the needle on a lot, like providing a much better experience than Brand X, doing things that are contribute to that experience, like great communication. Now, does that mean we shouldn't care about quality? Of course not. Of course we have to care about quality. I do think we need to understand the context of quality versus experience. You can lose a tremendous amount of points with your customers by having poor quality. No question. They expect the thing to be done correctly. And if it's not, you lose a lot of points for that. There's no question about that. And again, every one of us has experiences where we came in behind somebody else who completely screwed it up and we were the hero for doing the technical thing really well. I get that. That is not the majority of the time, though, in my opinion or my experience. In my experience, in my company, we could lose a lot of points by having poor quality, but we couldn't gain a lot of points because they expected the thing to be done well. In both cases, whether I lose points for having poor quality or don't gain a lot of points for having high quality, in both cases, people already expect high quality. It's not very likely they're going to commit to making a purchase you go, well, I don't know, it's kind of a crapshoot on how this turns out. Like, it's just not likely that happens. We can over-deliver on the experience, though, because people don't generally have high expectations for a good experience. Now, let's talk about this for a second. Most providers claim to have or to provide great customer service. And most consumers really do want to be treated well. I agree with both those statements. Most people still believe, though, that working with contractors, CPAs, marketing agencies, IT firms, whatever, the experience often leaves a lot to be desired. Why do they have that belief? Because it's true. Anyone who owns a home has at least a handful of stories of purchases that were not fun. You know, landscaping this, or carpet cleaning that, or roofing this, or windows that. Like, everybody who owns a home has at least a handful of stories. So it's not like this is unfair. It's not like I'm exaggerating. Most people have terrible stories about things that they've hired done to have their house fixed. And any business owner who's been around for more than a few years also has stories of misery with suppliers and things like accounting, bookkeeping, IT, marketing, whatever. Meanwhile, most businesses say they're different, they're better, but they still primarily focus on being better at the revenue-producing tasks. All those stories about unpleasant experiences, not all, let me rephrase that. Most of the stories about the unpleasant experiences that homeowners have with contractors and business owners have with suppliers are not generally about the revenue-producing task was done poorly. The complaint with accounting firms is not generally that the forms were filled out incorrectly or bookkeeping. That's not generally what makes the bad experience. But people still primarily focus on being quote-unquote better by being better at the revenue-producing task. So here's what I did to kind of make this easier for me, is I looked at our competition as a whole, kind of like they all had a solution box. Or to put it differently, I imagined I was competing against a solution box. What is a solution box? It's a magical box that solves the same problem for clients as I do. There's no people involved in what this solution box does. So the customer picks up the phone and they tell Johnny, who answers the call, their problem. Johnny sends out a solution box who shows up and fixes their problem. If it's a thing where we're going to the customer's home, the solution box shows up at their house and fixes the problem. The solution box leaves when it's done. No fuss, no muss. Then a person wraps up the things at the end, but also the solution box can't communicate throughout the process. It's a box, for crying out loud. I mean, come on. Everybody knows boxes can't talk. So it does the pieces of the process that are the mechanical, technical things we do to make money. But it doesn't do the communication part. It doesn't do the experiential part. So more on that in a second. First, you've heard me talk about my in-group meetings, and to try those out, absolutely free, where you can ask any question you have about improving your business, your team, your growth, your processes, your profitability, any question you have about your business, just send a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. This group is for anyone who has a team of employees that they lead. Again, just send a quick introductory email, you know, name, company name, a little bit about yourself or your team, whatever you feel is appropriate. Once I receive your email, I'll send you a Zoom link for their next call, and you can start moving forward immediately in areas where you'd like to make more or faster progress with your business or your team. All right, so back to the solution box. Why do I think like this about competing against the solution box? Why would I make up this weird analogy where I'm competing against a box? Because it keeps me focused on things I believe I can really move the needle on most. It also makes conversations with employees a lot easier. It's sometimes really hard to tell them, especially in industries where they're highly trained and highly skilled, like yours, that what people really care about is not their technical expertise. Yes, they value that, but they expect it. So when they call us, when they book the appointment, when they drop off their stuff, whatever it is, they expect our technical expertise to be fully intact. We can lose points if we're not, but we can't gain a lot of points there. And this is a difficult conversation for employees, because they can take it as a personal front to explain that people only appreciate and value what they can see, feel, understand, and contextualize. But that's absolutely true. This is an important thing that, and I'll just tell you, for me, once our employees understood this, man, did my life change, because the caliber of conversations, the caliber of training we could have was just off the charts different. Once they understood that truly customers can only appreciate and value what they can see, feel, understand, and contextualize, which is often not the super hard or intricate or especially difficult parts of the job. So if you have a master electrician who's solving this super intricate problem that's like super detailed and super hard, and like maybe he is only one of 10% of the people in the field who could solve this problem, the customer can't contextualize that. They can't understand it. Most of it's going to happen without the customer even seeing it. So how could they possibly value that thing? If somebody spends 10 minutes doing something in my house to fix something, whether it took them 3 weeks to learn that or 3 years, I don't know. I have no idea. So how could I contextualize how much I'm supposed to value that? All I know is the thing didn't work. They come out, they do a thing, and it works. It's not possible for us to convey to people how much they should value things, even when they're really hard or intricate or especially difficult. And this is a hard thing for our people to understand unless they put themselves in the situation of being the consumer in an industry that's not theirs. Like, we have to take them out of the role of being an expert and say, well, how is it when you go to a place? Like, if you're in a Jeeping and your transmission goes out, what's it like when you go take your Jeep to the transmission shop? What do you care about then? Well, of course, I expect to know other thing. And if the repair of the transmission for your Jeep is a super intricate thing or a super easy thing that people learn a month in, how would you know? Well, the answer is I wouldn't know. So those are the kinds of things I used to help our employees put themselves in situations of being the customer, so it was easier to kind of understand this stuff. And it wasn't coming across where I was diminishing their expertise, because that really matters. And they should be proud of that stuff. They should be proud of their knowledge. But it's hard for people to understand things that they can't understand and they can't contextualize and they can't see and they can't feel. I don't think it's possible for people to be able to value or appreciate those things. So what they do value is simple things that they can understand, see, feel, and contextualize. Like, did you call when you said you would? Were you nice to their dog? Did you talk down to them from their perspective or make them feel stupid from their perspective? So by talking about a solution box as our competitors, it makes it less personal for our employees. At least that was the case for me. If there were a solution box that your clients and potential customers would buy your service from, what, if anything, would you do differently? The solution box doesn't ever make technical mistakes, but also has no personality. It just does a perfect technical job and then goes away. A person still has to take care of all the other things that are not related to the technical work we do. So the first question is, do we want to compete for the customers who would want the experience of having a solution box come and do the work? Because if all they value is the technical work, then their decision is largely going to come down to price, speed, and convenience. Now, personally, I don't like competing on price. If I'm competing on price, I'm at risk of losing to another business who's cheaper, but doesn't have the foggiest idea how to price what they do. I don't want to put my fate in their hands. That's literally choosing to compete against companies who are least likely to be around in 5 years. And I would call that insanity. I do not want to compete on that. My entire future would be in the hands of some guy who doesn't even know what his pricing should be. That's nuts. I don't want to do that. That does not provide the kind of competitive environment I want to be in. Also, kicking ass at things like communication, other things people would not get from the solution box, but highly value, is so easy if we just focus on it. Because most companies absolutely suck at that stuff because they're focused on the revenue producing activities as being the paramount things to focus on. So they don't focus on the things that people really do value, like did you call when you said you would? Did you wear the floor protectors in my house? Did you pet my dog? The things that they really do value because they can see it, understand it, and contextualize it. So at Solution Box HVAC, the solution box would do its thing well. But John at the office would forget to call and let the customer know when the box is coming, and the customer is not going to have a good experience. At Solution Box Bookkeeping, Sally, the person who works with the client, would explain things in a way that the customer doesn't understand, and the customer would risk looking foolish to clarify. So they wouldn't ask any questions because they don't want to look foolish. So another month would go by with the customer not knowing what is going on with their financials and or finances. So by not focusing on the things the Solution Box can do, which is also all the things that my highly talented and well-trained people can do, you know, in the technical training they've gotten, I can focus our attention on things that really can change the way people feel about their experience with our company. So the first thing we have to do is we have to decide what we want to compete on. Again, I don't want to compete on price. And I've said this, you know, many times before. My opinion is, if we don't give people another compelling reason to make a decision, a buying decision, The decision will come down to price and convenience. I want them to know that when they call my company, it's not a, yes, they get the technical thing and yes, it's done well. And we have to have that piece. There's no question we have to have that piece. But that's not the only thing they're getting. Because if that's all they're getting from me, that's all they're getting from Brand X. And now it comes down to price and convenience. I want them to know that what they're getting from me is communication and, you know, the things that they care about. I don't want to go into too many details and that stuff because it's different for you than it was for me. In our case, communication was one of the top three most important things we did. We had customers calling me personally once, twice, three times a week. It was not unusual to have a few calls a week. No less than a couple times a month, though, where customers would call and say, would you please open a business in XY industry? I'm so tired of dealing with those guys. I never know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. The reason we love you guys is because your communication is awesome. Okay, well, that told me everything I need to know. Guess what our number one priority was? And we had to do the technical stuff really well because we could have great communication. If we blow the technical stuff, then the communication stuff matters less. There's no question about that. But we had to get the communication part right if we wanted to have a competitive advantage besides pricing. I don't want to compete on price. I don't think that's a great long-term strategy. Are there times you have to? Sure. But that is, in my opinion, that is not a good long-term strategy. So the first thing we have to do is decide what we want to compete on. If you want to compete on price, this entire episode won't apply. If you want to compete on experience and move the needle on things that we can truly move the needle on, because again, most other companies just aren't good at this stuff. They don't focus on it. They don't value it. They assume that they're good at it when they're not. So it's easy to move the needle on this stuff. So for your business, where are you competing against the solution box and where are you competing against other people? And where do you think you can make the most impact on sales, retention, and word of mouth advertising? For me, you know, we compartmentalize it. Okay, if there was a solution box out there doing what we do to make money, this is the part that we would focus on to address those things. Okay, let's take that out of the equation. Now, what do we focus on to compete on the experience? So this was an easy way for me to split those activities out. Again, that didn't make it personal for our employees because I don't want to insult them. And it's easy to do. This is something that they're going to be, they're going to be concerned about. We don't want to diminish anybody's skills because we can't run our business without those skills, obviously. But we also can't act like those are the most important things. They're up there, no question. But people already expect that stuff. So, all right, don't forget to try my groups absolutely free, or my new group absolutely free, where you can ask any question you have about improving your business, your growth, your team, your processes, your profitability. Just send a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com. Sorry about that. With the word group in the subject, just send me a quick introductory email. Once I receive your email, I'll reply and let you know when the upcoming dates are. You'll pick one. I'll send you the Zoom link for our next call, and you can start moving forward, making immediate progress in areas you want to grow faster. As always, if you find this information I share helpful, please share it with a friend or a colleague who you think can benefit from it. Of course, public sharing is also appreciated, but those direct shares are the ones where people really know that you think it's about them. And you never know if this is a topic that can help people make real progress in their business. And as usual, thanks for tuning in. If you haven't yet, hit that like or the subscribe and rate and review and all that stuff. All those podcasty kind of growth metrics that we have to pay attention to. I appreciate those of you who've already done that. If you could take a second, if you haven't done it yet, and just give us a quick rating review, that would be awesome. Hit that subscribe or follow button. And that's it for this week. And I'll talk to you all next week.